For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. What a beautiful day.
Oh, marvelous.
So we're in Kohelet, chapter 6. So we're going to begin chapter 6, and these books are on page 141. So there's something bad. There's something good and there's something bad. But there's a bad, Asher Re'isi Tachas HaShemesh. I saw underneath the sun. His wording is always so interesting. Like, he doesn't want to say, I saw in the world, or I saw it under the sun. I think, like, when we describe people that are doing well, we always say they make aliyah. They're going up. Like, people in life are going up or they're going down. As long as we improve a little bit, as long as we're going up. So when he wants to say something's down, it's like underground, it's under the sun. There are some people that instead of going up and becoming greater, they're underground. There's something that's under the sun. They're not on the way up. But Rabbi Yalda, and it's when you look at it, it can be very frustrating to think about. And this is what frustrates him. Ish asher yiten lo Elokim. There are people that the Almighty gives them osher. They have riches. Unechasim. And they have all kinds of property. And the kavod. And they're respected. The einu chaser lenafsho mikol sheyitava. And there's nothing they lack. To people that don't have, like these people, they have everything. And you might think that somebody has everything, so life is wonderful. Life is great. Hello, yishutu elokim lechol mimenu. And somehow, they don't benefit from the blessings that they have. People have so much to be grateful for and so much to enjoy, and instead, it gets wasted. And that's a sad thing when you think about it. The people that have so much to be happy for, and they own so much, and they don't lack anything, and they don't enjoy what they have. How do they say, smell the roses or something? Like, you have to
stop and smell the roses,
something like that. I don't know where it came from, but that's like, it makes us all want to, you know, enjoy the things that, you know, the good things that we have. We have to enjoy them, and sometimes we get caught up in other things so that we don't have time to enjoy all the things that Hashem gives us. And ki ish nachu yochlenu, some stranger will end up eating, benefiting from these things that the person has done. He himself doesn't enjoy them, doesn't benefit from them. Sehevel, this is like a waste of time. One of the things in the Parsha, very interesting, is that Hagar is in the desert, and she's thirsty, and it's hot, and her son has a fever, and she's dying of thirst, and all of a sudden Hashem opens her eyes, and the water was there the whole time, but she didn't see it. In the desert, people have mirages and things, and they don't see it. And there's a lesson in that. A lot of times we think that we have no solution or no way out, and the solution is right there. We just need Hashem to open our eyes to it. And so, like, sometimes people have the wealth and they have all types of things, but they're unable to benefit from it. Maybe they're not worthy of benefiting from it. We sometimes have to ask Hashem to allow us to enjoy life, you know, to enjoy the things that we have. Sometimes some people, it's just natural for them to worry. And they worry so much that it doesn't allow them to enjoy. They're worried that they won't have enough, and whatever they have, they can't enjoy because they're worried where the next meal will come from, or they're worried about whatever that is. And so, sometimes it's self-induced, and then sometimes it's not self-induced. It comes from Hashem. Im yolad ish meya. But I was also wondering about that. You know, it's almost like it's blaming. I think it's just pointing out to us that that sometimes we have to recognize that there are things to enjoy, or there are things that we have that we need to enjoy them while we can. I'll tell you, it's funny. I was just at a kashrus convention, so the subject, one of the subjects, was Shemitah. Next year, this year is a sabbatical year in Israel, And the problem is that the food products that are made in Israel this year get shipped to the United States next year. And so we have to be on the alert because some of the Israeli products that in other years are kosher won't be kosher next year because they were grown during the year where you're not supposed to work the farms in Israel. You're not supposed to grow things. Things that grow randomly they use for the local population, but they're really not supposed to ship it like to other countries and send it out. So we were going through different things, and so somebody brought up that a lot of the flowers that we get come from Israel. I never even thought about that. If you look at the flowers, there's a certain season where a large percentage of the flowers come from Israel. And when you smell flowers, you're benefiting from them. And if they were illegally or somebody violated the Torah and planted these flowers and worked these farms in the sabbatical year, you wouldn't be allowed to buy the flowers during the sabbatical year. So somebody, one of the rabbis there, asked that question. So it was funny. I was we're Atlanta, so I was seated at the A, and next to me was B was Bells. Bells was like a famous Hasidic judge. It was like a famous rabbinic figure, and I was like sitting next to him. And so he got the question, and he issued a ruling that you're allowed to smell. First of all, not all the flowers come from Israel, but he researched it, and the flowers themselves don't all naturally smell, and the florists add fake smell to the flowers. They squirt them so that they smell better, so you want to buy them. And that fake smell isn't a sabbatical product. And so he said it's really no problem to smell the flowers because in most occasions when you're smelling the fake. You know, oh, that smells wonderful. Now, I know for a fact, in coffee, a lot of times they add a fake coffee smell to the top of the, you know, when you open the coffee box.
Oh,
and
wow.
So sometimes it's not real. Yeah. Well, there is real, but sometimes a company will buy stale coffee and they want it to smell good. They'll add the smell to it so that it'll smell like the real.
Just from Spicy Peach, they're leaving today to go to
the show.
The
show.
I hope they know what's about.
Yeah, I'm sure they do that. But Israel products next year, we're all going to worry about if they have the Shemitah. There are ways to grow it. Sometimes there's certain parts of the land that are not technically biblical Israel that weren't sanctified, in Eilat and other places, and there are other ways that they can process things. But we talk about smelling the flowers. So you're allowed to smell the Israeli flowers next year, according to the rabbi who was sitting next to me. That But you have to, that's really just such a lesson to us that I speak to myself as well, that we just really need to focus on the blessings of life. Like they're just, it's our nature to focus on the negative things, what we don't have, what we used to have, what bothers us. And part of it, the way we serve Hashem is to try to enjoy the good things. Think about the good things. If you feel well, if you have what to eat, if you have family to enjoy, if you have friends to enjoy, if you can do mitzvahs, if you can learn Torah, like, you know, it's not easy, but that's what we, part of life is to enjoy, to figure out how to enjoy the good things. And there are many people that have lots of things. Don't be jealous of them because, they really don't enjoy what they have. And, you know, whenever you read if you see the tabloids on the way out of the supermarket, you see all the, you know, all those wealthy people and famous people, they have so many problems. It's just incredible. Like, one of the things about Tehillim is that in order to get, the communication with Hashem, you had to be in a good mood. When a person's in a rotten mood, when something's not, everyone knows, like, hard to pray, it's hard to, oh, leave me alone, like, you just don't feel it. So, what did, you know, David HaMelech was running away in caves, and people told on him, and he had terrible tragedies in his life. So, how did he get communication with Hashem? So, he would sing a song for the music to put him in a good mood, and then he could communicate. And so in Tehillim, sometimes it says Mizmor LeDavid, which means that David had to first sing a song to get in the mood, and then he could. So he worked on himself. If he wasn't in a good mood, he put on a music that he knew would put him in that good mood, would give him that upbeat. Im Yolid Ish Meya, let's say if a person has 100 children. That sounds like a lot of kids. V'shanin rabos yichya, and he'll. In those days, they appreciated. It's interesting. Like we live in a society where people don't see children necessarily as a blessing. they're finding more and more people are. Years ago, it was assumed people had children. They understood that happiness came from children and from families. And today, it's become more and more. There are places in Europe where people just don't have. They don't have children at all, or if they do, they have one or two. Or that's the. And they didn't look. They don't. They're not focused on giving to others and family life and the we take it for granted. There was a time when people automatically assumed the more children the better. Whereas today you have how many? Oh my goodness! How do you know? Like it's almost, it used to be like people would issue mazel tov. They're happy for you. Now it's like how are you going to pay all that tuition? Or I hope you have enough food. And which is fine, you know, but. It's just the outlook is that years ago people were happy, like for you know the more children the more there was. Now it's like, well, how are we going to pay all the tuition bills and how are we going to? Which is true, we have more worries, but children are a blessing, you know it should be that we outgrow all our schools and all our buildings because we have too many children to you know that should be our problem. So he said, a person will live long and have lots of children. And the person will not be satisfied from all that he has. The gangfur lo haisalo. And he won't even take care of his burial. He won't even have anything left at the end of life. And so it's like you have people that look like they have a lot and they really don't benefit from what they have. They don't see a blessing in it. So Marty told me that it would have been better if such a person weren't born. Verse 4, the person wastes his life in things that are, still haven't come up with a good word for hevel, mist. What are we calling hevel? It's our futile, or it's like mist.
Nothingness.
Emptiness. People, they go in emptiness, and they go in darkness. And they're covered with darkness. Verse 5, Gashemishle, they don't see the sun. And they don't have satisfaction from the things that they do. And so it's a the Iluchaya Elushanim, and even if they live longer, if he lives 1,000 years, it's not gonna help. Vitova lo ra, and he doesn't see good halog el makam echad akoholach, and in the end it'll all be the same. So you could see like life. People put a lot of people work hard and they put a lot of effort into things, and it's just sad when people don't benefit from what they do. They don't seem to enjoy life. They don't seem to take the blessings from things. Kol ha'ama an lepihu, and when a person works, what does he work for? His mouth. He works to stuff his mouth. He wants to just feed himself. And that's not what life is about. The gam nefesh lo timole, and you know what? He's never satisfied because as soon as you finish one meal, you got to worry about the next meal. You're thinking about what am I going to eat next, and then you have a stomachache, and then he has ki ma yosu l'chacham minaksil. And what benefit is there to be wise over a fool if it doesn't lead to something? Ma la ani yodei lahalach neged achaim. One of the big blessings of Shabbos is. It's such a funny thing, you know, we turn off everything. We don't go anywhere. We turn off our machines and you just enjoy Shabbos, just being alive, you know, just being around, just relaxing, just, you know, it's a, life itself can be enjoyable, but the people get so involved in things that they're always on the move. They always need something else to make them happy. Verse 9. Tov mara einayim mahalach nefesh. And, it's better what a person sees than what he's imagining. Some people are always dreaming. They're always thinking about the next thing. They always they're never real. The gamza hevel, and that's also people don't live in a real world. They're always imagining. They're always thinking things. That's also a something that's a waste of time that he noticed. Mashak bar nikrushmo. Ma shahayok bar nikra. What is already here is already. We have to be realistic about what's here and what we have to work with. V'no dehu adam, v'lo yuchol ladan im shetakef imenu. And a person has to know that he can't overcome the odds. He can't fight something that's stronger than him. Ki yesh dvorim harba marvim hev. There's certain times people waste their time. They take on fights that are just useless, that they'll never get anywhere. You kind of wonder, I don't know, like sometimes like the save the whale or hug the tree or the... well, there's no question that we have responsibility to leave the world a better place than we found it and that we want to leave things better for future generations. But you have to wonder, like, you know, how much does it help, you know, if you there's some people like that they won't use a paper bag because they have to cut down a tree or so you shouldn't waste it. But the question always is, are you taking on the impossible task? Are you doing something that isn't going to make the difference in the long run? And so there are things that people do that are just beyond what mankind can ever hope to accomplish. Verse 12. Ki mi yodea ma tov l'adam b'chaim. Who really knows what's good for a person? During the days of his life, the Yasuk itself, and a person's life, he doesn't translate this way, but the word sel means like the shade. Oh, he calls it a shadow. It's shadow, like comes and goes. In a certain way, life is like that. It's a short amount of time. And who's going to tell a person what's going to be afterwards? What are we here to accomplish? Tachas Hashem, it's underneath the sun. So it's very sobering. Again, the book is meant to be sobering, but it's meant for a person to focus on, is he accomplishing things? Is he benefiting from what he's doing? Is he seeing a blessing in it? All of these are part of the message that he's trying to get a person to focus on. You know, count your blessings, enjoy your blessings, don't waste your time. There's so many people that are out there that are in the rat race, so to speak. You know, they used to be the rat race. They used to have these little tracks that the rats would run on and go in circles. And so you look outside, there are a lot of people who are doing that. They're just going in circles, and there are all kinds of causes that they get excited about. And you kind of wonder, like, is there going to be any benefit when the person is here under the sun? He goes back and forth. He does do the positive. But this is more of a reflective kind of book. In other words, there in Mishlei and other books, they say, like, we want to focus on the positive. But here in Koheles, he lived in a very rich time. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it says that each person had security, each person had vineyards and had trees, and it says the gold and silver was like nothing. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, it's funny. You have some extra gold. So it was like a time of prosperity that everybody was happy and things were flowing in the country and everything was good. And so during that time, he wanted to sober people up that it's not about working for your mouth. You know, there's so much. Their life is more important than what you're going to eat. You know, that's where the message comes from. Chapter 7. Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. Very important. He said, you know what's good? A good name. Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. A person's name is how other people view a person. Sometimes a person wants to use his life to acquire things. I guess in those days I liked a good oil. They used to use oil for bathing and rubbing, and like olive oil was like something the rich people had. They were very into the oils and the oil. They used to... it was just a very valuable commodity. The person who had the oil, it's not petrol oil, it's like olive oil or the, you know, so that was like a person was, you know, very wealthy if they had, in last week's Haftorah we had where the lady ran out of oil and so the prophet made the oil overflow. Like, if you had oil, you were like all set. I don't know if they used it for salad dressing. The Greeks used oil for everything. It was like and you talk about anointing with oil, they used to rub it in their skin, and they used to bathe in it, they used to
it's
eat it.
It's good for your skin.
Yeah, is it?
Like if you have real dry skin, olive oil will take care of it before anything else.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. So, oil was something that everybody wanted. That's a commodity that everybody wanted. And along comes King Solomon and said, oil is good. Nobody questions about oil, but you know what's even better? If people, when they hear your name, they think of good things. You have a good name. In other words, you are. If you have worked your life to be someone who people, when they hear your name, they they think of your good deeds and your kindness and your friendship, that's worth more than having all the oil in the world. Tov shem. It's good to have a good name, mishemen tov, than good oil. That's a if you've accomplished in this world that people think highly of you, people, when they think of you, there's some people that they might have a lot of money and a lot of things, but nobody wants to be near them. And then there are other people that are just good people. They're really good people. They're people that are just we know who they are. You know, they might think they're, a lot of times people aren't aware that we notice them. It's really true, because the people that are in the limelight are always the fancy people or the wealthy people or the and sometimes the humble people go along and they're giving and they're kind and they think nobody sees them. But it's really the opposite. People of the know, meaning like people who are attuned to it, there are people that are just wonderful people, and they keep the world going, and they are the heroes, you know. And it's not always people that are in the limelight who are the heroes. It's the somebody that has a good name that cares about others, and toh shame, it's better than all the oil. Now there's a little bit of a surprise here. He says v'yom hamavis v'yom hineldu. It's very surprised. He says the day of death is better than the day a person is born. So what happened when a person is born? Mazel tov, everybody's all excited, everybody's happy and new. And when a person dies, everybody's all sad. You know, it's the day. And he's saying over here, the day of death is better than the day a person's born. So what does he mean? So some people learn that when a person has lived their life and done good things, and is somebody who's thought highly of, and has done things proper, so it's an accomplishment that they've lived a good life. They've done the right things, and so when a person leaves and having left in the right way, it's a good thing. It's a sense of accomplishment. Whereas when a person is born, we don't really know what the future holds. So the end of a person's life in a certain way, a person has lived a life of accomplishment, has lived a life of good, has lived a life, he's meaningful to others, and so that day is better in certain ways than the day of birth, where it's unknown. Nobody knows where life will take a person. People are challenged, and people change, and sometimes they make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are, you know, we've all known people that have made terrible mistakes in life, and sometimes they can't go back and fix them. They only live once, you know, and so... So if a person, passes away and has lived a fulfilled life, so that day is better than the day he was born. That's one interpretation. Some people connect it to the second interpretation, which is that the person, it's good to be solemn. It's good to think about the fact that life is short. We need those reminders. We all live as if we're going to live forever. And that we all think, you know, we spend the money now, and oh, don't worry, put it on the credit card. Well, that comes due. You know, it has to be paid at some point. It has to. So it's good to be serious. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a party. Because he says, Bashir who's so called, because you know what? Everybody's going to die. But when a person is alive, he can think about life, he can think about what's important. So when you party, you really don't, you might have a good time, but it doesn't really move you. When a person goes to the house of a mourner, they get moved. They think that life is temporary. You know, it's like, when you take a test and you have a timer, and, you know, and some people finish, and then all of a sudden you're reminded, oh, I only have a few minutes left. I have more to do. So it's like you're running out of time. When a person dies, it's a reminder to us all that, you know, eventually, you know, life comes to an end, and we have more to do. We have so many things we have to do, and we get sidetracked. And so it's a good thing. It's healthy for a person to be reminded now and then that we're only here a short amount of time, and we have to try to do the good things and focus on what's important and make sure we're making progress. And you go to a party, you don't always think about it, you're just happy. So it's like better for a person to think about the thoughts that he'll think about in a sad place. Sometimes might be better for a person to be productive and to enjoy life than it would be if he just goes to a mishta, a drinking party. It's interesting also, mishta is drinking rather than just eating. I don't know if he said that purposely. or you know, if Mishnah means like, you know, drinking, I don't know, maybe eating is a little, because we do find like in the Parsha with Avraham and Sarah that they had these big long meals and they had, you know, from eating you can come close to Hashem. I'm not sure if drinking is different or not. It's just interesting that he says better to go to the funeral party, you know, to the house of the mourner than it is to the drinking parties. The drinking parties, you go to the bars, important things don't happen over there. And in our country, in the bars, there are a lot of fights. A lot of people get hurt. They get drunk, and it's like really, it's not a place. I don't think meaningful things get done in the. Whereas at least with a restaurant, things people have business lunches, they enjoy each other's company. That's a different. But I guess it's sometimes okay to go to the Beit HaMishnah, but it's not necessarily so good for you. We thought, well, you know, you die, that means you have to be better. You want to use life for what's
right.
Really important than just feeding your mouth. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Verse 3. Tov chas mechskoch. It's better. Now, this is a funny word. Usually, chas means anger. It sounds like anger is better than skoch, than lightheadedness. There are different... So again, this is a chapter of surprises, and Kohelis really, he wrote things that shocked people, and he did it for the shock effect. In fact, some of the sages didn't want to print Kohelis as part of the Tanakh because they felt people might misconstrue it. But he threw hard ammunition. He used words to wake us up a little bit. But it's good sometimes that a person he's translating this as grief is better than anger. In the context, there's like a certain... I think if these are two opposites, you know, there's some people that nothing bothers them, and some people are bothered. It's good to be bothered, because if things bother you, you'll fix them. You'll accomplish things. Whereas if you're just like lightheaded about everything, that's one of the things that worries me about all this marijuana that's being approved. You know, isn't it interesting? Like, what's happening all of a sudden that our country, you know, all of a sudden is approving marijuana use? Like, I mean, the truth is, it's more complicated to do with whether the police have better things to enforce. I get all that, but the problem though is, if you've ever met somebody that's been addicted to marijuana, they call it a pothead. I don't know if you remember from the '60s or that. There are people that. And they are just so lightheaded that they have, a lot of them end up becoming homeless, but they just, it's like we used to have an expression like they fried their brain. You know, they're like, they're very friendly but their life is just, they become nothing.
Well, they don't want to feel.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? They don't live in the world, or they're not
right.
They're not part of reality.
The thing is that then it leads to, very often it leads to something else, because it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And what's the problem, we have family in Colorado, you know, they know what to do with a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they haven't passed any laws on what to do about the pothead driver.
I see. Right,
who
right.
Floats.
Also does a lot of accidents,
yeah.
Right, not paying attention,
yeah.
And going real fast. And, oh, I'm sorry.
No, they're actually going slower.
Oh, they go slower.
Float down the highway.
Interesting. Yeah. So it creates a lot of problems, but it's good to be it's good to be serious rather than to be totally lightheaded. That's the way I would put it. Rather than anger, I would say maybe serious. It's better to have a certain seriousness than nothing bothers you. The total lightheaded. I would say that there's a time to be lightheaded and enjoy things and be chilled and be, you know, floating. And then there's, as long as it's a time, but it's not life. Life itself has a lot of challenges, and you have a lot of things to do, and it's short. And it's important that people have that. Kiba rab panim yitav leiv. Because he says, if a person is worried and concerned, he'll perfect his heart. So even though anger or concern is, you know, it's like there are problems, the person needs to fix things, he has to work on things, but that's how he betters himself. That's how he makes himself a better person. Whereas if a person just, everything is lightheaded, he doesn't improve. And so sometimes it's good to be solemn. It's good to worry about things. It's good to be concerned. Leif Chachamim Beis Avel. The heart of the wise person, is in the house of the mourner. He's thinking about the shortness of life. He's thinking about the tragedies. He's thinking about what he can do. For Leif Ksilim, in the heart of the fool, he's just thinking about the next party. When am I off work? When's his next party? When can he go drink? Now, along with that, Tov Lishmoya Garas Chacham, it's good to hear rebuke. Very interesting thing. They say that the Vilna Gaon, when he got older, he summoned the Dubna Magid to see him. And he asked the Dubna Magid if he could rebuke him. He said, "Rebuke you? You're the greatest." He said, "Don't say that. That's the problem I have, is that no one tells me when I do bad. We all need someone." Some people say Hashem thought of the solution. He made us marry. We have someone that puts us in our place or gives us the rebuke that we need. But we need. It's good for us to have somebody that gives us. So the truth is. there is a challenge, and that is in American life, people don't take rebuke kindly. You can't rebuke anybody today. Ask any rabbi will tell you can't. You can't tell somebody they're doing something wrong because if you knew like old Jewish people, they would come up to you in your face and they'll tell you right away you're doing something wrong, because it was a different value system. They thought, in other words, in our society, it's like. If your shoe's untied, you don't get upset with someone who tells you. You say, "Thank you for telling me. I would have tripped." So if your shirt's not tucked in or something, or so you're happy when someone tells. So why aren't you happy if someone tells you, you were a little bit loud the other day, or you were a little bit nasty, or you overdid this? So you should be happy if somebody gives you rebuke. Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't realize. What we do is, today in our society, when somebody tells you something, that means they're trying to hurt you. They're not trying to help you. So how dare you tell me? Look at what you're doing, You're not trying. But if somebody does it out of love, then they can get away with it because, they love you. So they can tell you, this is wrong, I remember, like I said, when I was younger, I knew, with around older Jewish people, they would be that way. They could sometimes be very negative, but they didn't mean it in a bad way. They really wanted it. Now, again, the way we've grown up, we don't appreciate that. We really don't. We can't take when somebody tells us. It's like a whole science, even with children. Like, you want them to have good self-esteem, but on the other hand, how do you criticize them? Like, it's a problem that we have in our psyche in the United States in this time of how to give rebuke. But rebuke is a good thing. People need to know. They're making a mistake. Let's say you're going the wrong way, and somebody stops you and says, you're going the wrong way. You're so happy. Thank you for telling me. I'll turn around. I'll go the right way. But there are other things. If someone tells you, you're making a mistake, you say, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? You did this and this and that. That's the way we react. But I think some of it is because it's not out of love. Rebuke is not supposed to be given when a person doesn't do it because he loves someone, he cares about someone. There are people that make a sport. They like to yell at people. There are people that'll find some place where they can be like a policeman, where they can. I have this problem. We hire people to be supervisors. Every now and then, we'll get someone that wants to like be like a policeman and like be the boss and be tough and tell people. That's not. You don't want such a mashgiach. First of all, they'll do it behind his back if they don't like him. You want someone that works with people, and you have to tell people when there's something really wrong. But you can't. You have to know how to communicate and how to do things. So
say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean.
Oh, very good. Who said that?
I have no idea.
That's cute. Okay. Okay. Say what you mean what you say, but
don't say it mean.
Oh, very good. Right. That's right. Very good.
Oh, that's very nice.
So I was at this Mashgiach convention last. I have to share it with you. That's what I was at. So the rabbi got up at the beginning of his talk, and he said when he went to school to learn about Mashgiach, so the head Mashgiach said to him that the waiters have a private break room over there where they eat their non-kosher food, and or they sometimes bring food from the main kitchen and eat it over there, but they're not allowed to bring any dishes in there. OK, because the dishes come from the kosher kitchen. And since they have private food, they're not allowed to bring any dishes. And he said, if you find any dishes, smash the plate. So that's what he was told. So he went in one time, sure enough, you know, waiters do whatever, you know, he went in the waiter's room and they're eating their cheeseburgers and their ham sandwich, and one of them had a dish. So he went and he, you know, he was told, Mashgiach, go, you smash it. So he smashed it, and there was a whole scene. The waiter got all upset, and he quit on the spot, and he had to apologize. And he said that he's learned that you get cooperation more out of friendship than you do out of smashing the plate. He said that maybe there is a situation where you got to smash that. It could be you have to throw the plate out if they put non-kosher on it, but the question was, people always assume that you have to be a policeman, that the only way to give a message is to, you know, you're eating on the kitchen plate, you know, he was saying, well, first try to have a talk with him, maybe he didn't realize, you know, you kind of hurt his feelings. But rebuke is a good thing, but you got to figure out how to give it. But in our society where we don't trust the people giving the rebuke, it's become a bad thing. But we, from our own perspective, have to be happy. If someone tells us we made a mistake, we should be happy that we got the message, even if the person telling us, you know, said it in a nasty way. You know, who is he? We have to work on enjoying rebuke. And so he's saying over here, it's good to hear the words of a sage. If a sage tells you, this word garas means like an angry sage. It's good to hear an angry sage. You know, somebody who's a sage and a loving, wise person tells you, you know, he gives you a rebuke. That's great. That's wonderful. Now you know what you're doing wrong. Then to hear, me'ish shomeya shir ksilim. A fool is going to sing your praises. It's a challenge, by the way, that often great people have surrounded by yes men who tell them everything they do is good, and they need people that will say, that's a terrible idea, don't go to war in Iraq or whatever it is, or don't do, you know, you need people that give you good advice. And often that they nobody likes someone who's going to tell them they're doing wrong. Instead, they want someone who's going to get up there, great idea, boss, that's incredible, I wish I was as brilliant as you. And studies show that people do get followed by people that are yes men. And it's a real challenge to find someone that actually gets people that will give them rebuke and tell you, you know, that's not a good idea. Even though you may not like hearing that. See, that's really the challenge. In other words, we should set ourselves up to be open to, if we make mistakes, that we hear. That's really better for us than to hear people praising us and saying everything is wonderful, everything is great. And like I said, we have to work on ourselves that if we do ever tell people off or we do want to give advice, that it be out of love. Because right now, our American psyche, we don't like to hear it from anyone. If someone tries to tell us, you know, you're going too slow, you'll yell back at them. That's why they have road rage. You know, somebody gets upset because someone's driving terrible and he honks his horn. And the first reaction is, instead of, oh, you know, I made a mistake, maybe I'm not driving fast, maybe I should, who's he to do that to me? I'm going to get him back, right? That's the American way. Like, no one can tell me off. But we have to try to learn from rebuke, even if, you know, hopefully if people tell us we make mistakes, they care about us. But it's just an interesting statement that we, as people, want to hear rebuke if it's warranted, if we can learn from it, if it comes from a chacham. Rather than hearing somebody singing our praises from who's singing our song, some fool was singing our praises, that's not going to help us very much.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.